Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The healthiest adult is the one who had parents who taught them how to receive love and give love in all five languages, how to speak all five apology languages, and how to forgive people. That's going to be the healthiest adult.
Wise counsel from the scholarly voice of Dr. Gary Chapman. And today here on the Homeward broadcast, we have a great conversation in store for you. Making things right with those you love. Dr. Gary Chapman is known as the five love languages guy. He has also written about apology languages as well and has a brand new book on the subject called When Sorry Isn't Enough. And recently I had the opportunity to catch up with him at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And we had a conversation about this issue. I'm Roger Marsh. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm broadcasting right now from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. And now let's go out to Nashville and part one of my conversation with Dr. Gary Chapman, making things right with those you love here on Homeward. Today on the program, Dr. Gary Chapman with us once again, and it's great to have you as a recurring guest here on the broadcast. Good to have you along.
Thank you, Roger. Good to be with you.
You're in very good spirits, considering that you are an associate pastor who's playing senior pastor right now for a season, and that's been going on for a year or so.
Yeah, 15 months now. I've been the interim pastor, plus doing all the speaking that I was already lined up to do
Months. Well, that's what you get for and no signs of retirement or anything like that. I mean, I think that's it's great. We don't like retirement ages here, and I don't know how old you are, and I don't care, because
Well, you know, I was interviewing Art Rohrheim once. He was 91 years old. He's the founder of Awana.
Yeah.
And I said, do you ever anticipate, he was 91, do you ever anticipate retiring? He said, oh, yeah, I retire. He said, every night I retire, and every morning I get up and re-enlist.
That's a great line. I love that. Borrowing that one. I'm going to use that to get a lot of mileage out of it. Dr. Gary Chapman, prolific author, and has covered so many of our human emotions that would just get the best of us. You know, the Love Languages book, helping everyone kind of figure out what I just was a part of an assessment at my church. We're trying to help our leadership team do a better job. Mm-hmm. And so the young gal that we brought in said, now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Gary Chapman, but he has this book called The Five Love Languages, and so I couldn't resist. I said, really? So we did the test, and I'm an active service guy. I mean, I always have been, and I still am. And words of affirmation mean nothing to me.
Yes.
But that's okay, because I know that. And anyway, it's going to help our staff do a lot of great things.
Yeah.
You've helped us with anger. You've helped us with love. But one area that I can say from personal experience, and I know a lot of our listeners do too, one area that really trips people up is, I said I was sorry. And the other person says, oh, no, you didn't. You've never apologized for anything.
Yeah.
When sorry doesn't seem to be enough is your newest book, and it deals with this issue of how can you convince the person to whom you owe an apology to that you really are sorry, that you've got some languages to help us learn.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Roger, is that most people think that they do apologize, and the most common way of apologizing is to say, I'm sorry.
Right.
And so, for some people, that's all they say, I'm sorry. Well, what I'm saying is, if you want the person to sense your sincerity, you're going to have to do more than say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say, I'm sorry, and they may well say, you certainly are. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, keep going.
So the first thing I say is, when you say, I'm sorry, don't ever stop with those two words. Tell them what you're sorry for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I came home late and we have missed the program. I know you wanted to go. I'm sorry that I lost my temper and yelled at you. You know, tell them what you're sorry for, and then don't ever put the word but after that.
Right.
I'm sorry that I lost my temper and yelled at you, but if you had not, then I would not, and now you're not apologizing. You are blaming them for your poor behavior.
So apology is not blaming.
Okay. That's right. It's not blaming. Now, it is true that saying to the person I'm sorry is one of the five languages of apology. We asked thousands of people all over the country. I say we because I wrote this book with Dr. Jennifer Thomas, a Christian counselor. Thousands of people, two questions. When you apologize, what do you typically say or do? Second question. When someone apologizes to you, what do you want to hear them say and do? And their answers fell into five categories. I promise you, Roger, we weren't looking for five.
Yeah.
I like five, yeah, but we were not looking for five.
It wasn't like the publisher said, it has to be five. Five love languages, five, it has to be five apology languages, come up with them. But it just so happened they came up with five, and like with the love languages, if we understand what our apology language is in terms of what we, the way we apologize, and we also understand the way we want to hear an apology back, the two parts of the equation, then it does a world of good in terms of helping people resolve conflict.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to carry that bitterness around. I mean, it's just not healthy.
We know that when we do something that offends our spouse, it's like putting a block, an emotional block in a wall between us. And if we don't do something about it, the block doesn't go away. It just sits there. And that's why apology is so important. And then conversely, forgiveness. We apologize, we forgive, we remove the block. Now we can move on down the road.
Yeah.
But often when people apologize, we have the feeling they're not sincere.
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to whitewash
you.
You don't mean that.
Yeah.
But we judge their sincerity based on how they are apologizing, because we all have a primary apology language. That is, there's one something we're looking for in an apology. For some people, it's accepting responsibility.
Yeah.
I was wrong. They're waiting to hear you say, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you simply say, I'm sorry, and tell them what you're sorry for, to them, that's not an apology. They're waiting for you to say, I was wrong. I should not have done that. My fault. No excuse for that. I take responsibility for that. And when you say that, they hear you, they feel like you're sincere, and they're more likely to forgive you. But if you don't accept responsibility, in their mind, you really haven't apologized. And that's why couples will sit in my office and argue over whether or not one of them has apologized.
And he says, I said I was sorry. Yep. And she says, no, you didn't. You never apologized for anything. And you're sitting here thinking, wait, okay, we got to get this couple to... Well, I know how hard it is for guys to say I was wrong.
Yep.
I mean, guys don't want to be incompetent. We want to show that we're... Shanti Feldhahn's research talking about the fact that men really want to be, you know, found trustworthy and provable and, you know, protectable. And I still remember that Happy Days episode where Fonzie had to admit that he was wrong and he couldn't do it. And and every guy who was watching that laughed and said, well, of course, who wants to say I was wrong? But that's a key, I'm not saying that's exclusively for men, but that's a key apology language.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of this, I think, we learn from our parents.
Mm.
You know, little Johnny pushes his sister Mary down the stairs and his mother says, Johnny, you don't do that to sister. Go tell her you're sorry. So little Johnny says, I'm sorry. And he's 30 now. If he offends his wife, what's he going to say?
I'm sorry. Right.
He learned it from his mother. But see, other mothers and fathers taught their children, honey, when you do wrong, tell the person you're wrong. I was wrong. I should not have done that.
I'm sorry I pushed you down.
That's right. Yeah. So you know, and then as we mentioned, there's five of those languages.
I'm sorry is one. Please forgive me.
And accepting responsibility is one.
Uh-huh.
And then making restitution or offering to make restitution.
Okay.
What can I do to make this up to you?
Mm-hmm.
And then genuinely repenting, expressing the desire to change, which is what the word repent means.
Right.
And saying, you know, I don't like this about me. I know I did the same thing last month.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this again. Can we talk? Can you help me?
Help me not do that again.
Can we find a way that I won't do this again?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is requesting forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. I really want you to forgive me because I value our relationship. It's actually requesting forgiveness. And some people will say, well, I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't they know if I say I'm sorry that I want them to forgive
me? Right, and those are two different languages.
Yeah. And so we have to learn each other's apology language in a marriage. If we want to be most successful in apologizing and forgiving, learn each other's language, speak that language when you offend them, and they're more likely to sense your sincerity. You see, we can't judge sincerity. Only you know if you're sincere.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to judge sincerity based on how you give the apology.
Mm-hmm. So that I'm sorry, as you were describing that whole scenario, it sounds like a typical little kid response. You know, they did something, and then, sorry. Kind of like they're hoping that's the get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
Okay, now you get off my case and whatever. And as parents, if we let them get away with that, then you become the 30-year-old, the 50-year-old, the 70-year-old, who just keeps saying, well, I said I was sorry, because that's just what you're supposed to do. I checked off the box, and I don't know. The concept of the apology languages here, Dr. Chapman, is so encouraging because it gives us a little bit of the responsibility, to take responsibility to say, if I really am trying to get resolution here, I'm going to take responsibility to find out what you need from me.
Yes, very similar to the love language concept. Mm-hmm. You know, if I want my spouse to genuinely feel loved, then I'm going to learn to speak their love language. I'm going to speak it regularly because I want them to know that I love them. I want them to feel that I love them. Same thing is true with the apology. If you want to really deal with the issue, get it out of the way so you can go on down the road, then you want to learn to speak their apology language so that they sense your sincerity and can more easily forgive you and you can continue with the relationship.
That's powerful insight from Dr. Gary Chapman today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. You're listening to a conversation that I had with Dr. Chapman not too long ago at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. It's always great to go and meet with fellow broadcasters and authors and speakers. Gary has written a number of great books on communication skills, one of the most articulate and well-read men that you'll ever come across in the pulpit. And he's written a new book called When Sorry Isn't Enough. We have it linked up on our site today at homeward.com if you want to learn more about this book and want to figure out what your apology language is and how to speak it most effectively in your marriage, in your relationships at work, in your relationships with your kids. More of the conversation with Gary Chapman in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Look, Dad, I said I was sorry. It'll never happen again.
Well, I hope not.
Well, I can't believe I lost my cell phone at the beach. What was I thinking?
I don't know, sweetheart, but I'm sure you learned a valuable lesson here.
Oh, I did. So, can I have some money?
Money for what?
Well, Dad, I need a new cell phone.
A new cell phone? Heather, I already gave you one.
I know, and I lost it, remember?
Oh, yes, yes, I do. And now, you can start saving to buy a new one.
But, Daddy! Oh!
As parents, we have to emphasize consequences. We all live with them, and some good, and some not so good. Some of them we can control, and some we can't. But let's face it, when it comes to family issues, the consequences are almost always the result of our own actions, not something someone else has done to us. You'll want to read my free tip sheet called Teaching Your Kids to Deal with Consequences. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Today on the program, Dr. Gary Chapman with us. When Sorry Isn't Enough is the name of the new book. We're talking about apology languages. And these, the love languages are fun. I mean, I have to admit, you know, it's whether you're a gift giver or, you know, quality time, you know, that type of thing. Those are kind of fun. The apology languages are hard because it's not like someone says, oh, good, because the apology happened because you messed up.
Yeah.
And with the love languages, it's like, well, everyone wants to love and be loved, so... Hey, you know, but the apology one, I can imagine there isn't a mad rush for people saying, oh, what's my apology language so I can admit that I made a mistake. but it's true. It's very helpful. And before the break, I was talking about the parent with the strong-willed child.
Yeah.
And the strong-willed child, I'm thinking, okay, strong-willed child, I'm sorry. No, please forgive me. No. Okay, we're getting kind of short on the list here. but I would imagine the strong-willed child, I remember from what I've read from experts, Dr. Dobson, Cynthia Tobias, all say the same thing. The strong-willed child would use that restitution one. They would try to make it right somehow. They would never in a million years say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But they would find, so that's an apology language.
Yes, and I think we have to recognize as parents, we teach our children. The Bible's very clear about that. Parents train the children. Children don't train the parents. Parents train the children. And one of the fundamental things in teaching children to apologize is to teach them to accept responsibility for their behavior. Mm-hmm. For example, a three-year-old breaks a cookie and says, it broke. It broke.
Right. I don't know how this happened.
And the parent says, honey, let's say that a different way. I broke the cookie. I broke the cookie. It's not a sin to break a cookie. We're just trying to help the child accept responsibility for their behavior. And I think parents need to learn this early, need to teach this early to their children.
Yes.
You know, my son was probably 6 or 7 when he accidentally knocked a glass off the table. Mm. It hit the floor and shattered. I was in the kitchen. I looked at him, and he said, it did it by itself. And I said, Derek, let's say that a different way. Uh-huh. I accidentally knocked the glass off the table.
Right.
And he said, I accidentally knocked the glass off the table. You know, not a sin to accidentally knock a glass off the table. I was just trying to help him accept responsibility for his behavior.
Right.
And so once we do that and the child accepts responsibility for their behavior, now we can move along to begin to teach them ways to apologize, mm-hmm. ways to make things right. And if you explain that to a child, that we're trying to make things right in our relationship, the child can come to understand that, because the child has a concept of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, very young, a child will say to a mother, "That's not fair, Mommy."
Yeah.
They have a sense of right and wrong, and they feel like what you're saying is not fair. So they have that sense, and if we teach them the necessity of apologizing and forgiving, because we want to love each other in this family. And this is fully as important as the love languages. Mm. Because if we don't learn to apologize and forgive each other, we're not going to have good relationships in life, because yeah. this is a part of life.
There's no way you can reconcile it. I was thinking about the Super Bowl this year, the whole sense of right and wrong, as you're talking about fairness, and everybody complaining about that play where the guy, he held him, no, he pushed off, you know, back and forth. But we get so animated about that over a football game.
Yeah.
Because why? Because the referee was giving one player an advantage over another, and we don't, you know, they throw the penalty and mark off the yardage. And so we've got that, I mean, in the culture. There's no yeah. problem with that. But here in the church, we can really be standard bearers. I mean, in terms of, I think of how many marriages that you've seen turn around simply because a husband and wife learned each other's apology language yeah. and love language, and then said, oh, when you say that, that's what you mean, you know,
yep.
and if nothing more than taking responsibility to say, oh, well, you know, my apology language is saying, you know, asking for forgiveness, and yours yep. is I'm sorry. So now that we know that, I'm not going to, because I can see it happening. The wife's apology language is say you're sorry,
yep.
and she expects the husband to say I'm sorry, and every time he doesn't say it, she doesn't hear it.
Yeah.
And
yep.
and the marriage just keeps getting drifting further and further apart.
It's like we're speaking different languages, mm-hmm. and we didn't get the message.
Yeah.
And another factor I share in the book is that sometimes if it's been a really severe crime that you've committed against your spouse,
yeah.
you might need to use all five languages,
right.
okay?
Yeah.
Just like in the
uh-huh.
love languages. You
sure.
give them heavy doses of the primary, but you can sprinkle in the other four and get extra credit.
Yeah, right. Well, some. In
some
the
extra
yeah,
credit.
Right, right. Well, but that makes sense, because, I mean, if there was something that actually cost someone something, maybe a tangible loss, you would say, you know, please forgive me and I'll make restitution,
yes.
for example, or something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Have to do that. And
yeah.
and in the case of, I think, of a couple that might have even been rocked by infidelity, for
yeah.
example. I mean, I don't know how you make up for that,
yeah.
but at least being aware of what the one spouse has taken from the other spouse in the form of the loss of fidelity.
Absolutely. And the other thing we have to remember is that forgiveness is a gift. You don't make somebody forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force forgiveness. What you can do is be honest about your failure. You can try to express an apology, hopefully using their language, maybe throwing in all five languages. You're really trying to communicate how deeply you feel about this. And then it's in their court. They choose to forgive you, or they choose not to forgive you. If they forgive you, the marriage relationship can continue to grow. If they say, I can't forgive you for that, the barrier sits between you and the relationship will not go forward. The other thing I like to emphasize is, don't expect your spouse to forgive you instantly if it's been a very painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give them time. They may even say to you, I'm going to have to think about that. And give them time to think about that. But as they think about it, if they're Christians, they're going to begin to realize, look, you know, I have a choice here. I can just reject this person and walk away, or I can forgive. And the scriptures say, we've been forgiven, and we must learn to forgive.
Miriam Neff has written a book on the embracing the gift, if you will, of unwanted change. And talking about the fact that in her case with her husband's illness and then subsequent passing and her being thrust into widowhood, but realizing that the change is unwanted, but it is change. And
yes.
so if something has happened in a marriage that requires an apology, I think it's incumbent for both husband and wife to look at this and say, okay, now what do we do? You know, we want to try to make restitution, but there's been a paradigm shift here. I mean, yeah. whether it was a careless word that was just spoken at a dinner party or something, or something as big as an infidelity or even more. And taking time, I appreciate you sharing that counsel, because we live in an instant access, isn't there an app, you know, type of mm-hmm. thing where you could just download something quickly? Is there a quick Bible study I can do to make this all go away?
Yeah.
And you don't have that. Sometimes you just have to let it percolate, let it boil.
Yes, and we have to also recognize, Roger, that forgiveness does not remove all the consequences of wrongdoing.
Good point.
The emotions may still be there. The mm-hmm. hurt may still be there. Certainly the memory is still there.
Yeah, you can't unsee it.
And sometimes other consequences are still there. You know, you're unfaithful and you got somebody pregnant. I mean, now they're going to have a baby, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm supposed to forgive that, you know. Well, Forgiveness doesn't remove the consequences.
Right.
Forgiveness is the decision to show mercy and grace to the person as opposed to demanding justice. And the consequences, yes, may linger, and you'll have to deal with those consequences. But you have removed the barrier. You're not going to demand that they pay for this. You're going to lift the penalty, and you're going to go on with the relationship.
Dr. Gary Chapman with us today here on the broadcast. When sorry isn't enough, discovering your apology language and figuring out how you can speak your apology language so people know what you are expecting. I mean, what that says to me, that I think that's as important as anything else. It's like walking into a room and saying, I speak English, just so everyone knows, you know, how to communicate with you. And you don't have to say that necessarily, but if you do start speaking English. And then understanding each other's languages as well. Any of these five more predominant in your research than any others? I mean, is it pretty even across the board?
What we found, that yes, it's pretty even across the board, 20% in each one of them.
Wow.
And some, I mean, you know, it might be 19 or 21 or 22, but but they're all pretty equal scattered.
And refresh our memory as to what the five are again for someone who might just be joining us.
One of them is to say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're expressing regret for what happened. One is accepting responsibility. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Should not have done that. One is offering to make restitution. Mm-hmm. What can I do to make this up to you? One is expressing the desire to change. I don't want to keep doing this. I've got to find a way not to do this again. Mm-hmm. And then there's requesting forgiveness.
Please
Will
forgive
you
me.
Please forgive me?
Yeah, those are the ones. And you said across the board. That's interesting universally that we use them kind of interchangeably. And I wonder how many people think that please forgive me means I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And how can I make things right means I don't want to do this again.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we have, the only way we can discover this is to discover it. Once we discover it, we have to share with each other. Otherwise,
yeah.
I don't know what communicates a true apology to you. But if you tell me, you know, what I want to hear, honey, is that I want to hear you say I was wrong, or I want you to offer to make restitution to me. Okay, if I know that, then the next time I need to apologize, now I know how to do it in the most effective way for you.
Mm-hmm. And then to be fair, a friend of mine is a therapist, and he says one of the toughest things for him is when a couple gets to that point and one spouse will say, well, this is, you know, I want you to say I'm sorry, please forgive me, and then the other person does it, and then the first spouse changes their mind and says, well, now what I really want is, no, wait. But that's an indication to me that there's a lot deeper issue.
Yep.
I mean, because we're talking about a couple that's on equal footing here that says, okay, we want this marriage to work, or we want this relationship to work, parent and child, I want to figure this out. And parents, we have to take the responsibility, and grandparents too, to teach our children about this concept and then say, okay, well, we're going to help you figure out what your language is too, because you can't expect a six-year-old to know what his apology language is.
Right.
Maybe a seven-year-old, but not a six-year-old.
Yeah. And, you know, ideally, I won't encourage parents to teach their children to speak all five apology languages.
Oh, that'd be good.
Because, see, when they get to be an adult, then they know. They know what they
They're
are.
They're going to have to,
And so the healthiest adult is the one who had parents who taught them how to receive love and give love in all five languages, how to speak all five apology languages, and how to forgive people. That's going to be the healthiest adult.
Well, that's a fitting footnote, a great benediction for our time together. Dr. Gary Chapman, again, the book, When Sorry Isn't Enough. It's brand new. Understanding Your Apology Language. So important that you understand these concepts, and this is a book that we highly recommend. Dr. Chapman, thanks for being with us today on the program.
Thank you, Roger. Great to be with you again.
And that concludes my conversation with Dr. Gary Chapman here on the Homeward Broadcast. Roger Marsh back here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. And you can tell by the ambiance there, that was another on-location recording at the National Religious Broadcasters in Nashville just a few weeks ago. Gary Chapman's book on apology, so very, very profound, and something that every married couple will benefit from. Parents and kids can benefit from reading this too. And it's a book that I highly recommend. I know Dr. Jim Burns does as well. When Sorry Isn't Enough. We have a link on our website at homeward.com today. Also, remember that Dr. Jim Burns has an outstanding book for couples called Creating an Intimate Marriage that deals with the issue of how to apologize, how to fight fairly. And if you're in a marriage relationship and specifically looking for a resource to help improve the quality of your marriage, go to homeward.com. You can order a copy of Jim's book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, directly from our online resource center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We truly appreciate that financial support. Get more ordering information for Creating an Intimate Marriage at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of
positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.